Matthias, welcome to the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Nice to have you here.
Knut, thank you for having me, and greetings from Czech Republic to all your listeners.
Oh, fantastic. The land of defenestration, one of my favorite words in politics ever. For those of you that don't know, Matthias is one of the two brothers that are organizing the BTC Prague conference, a conference which I think you should definitely go to this year, mid to late June. It's the 19th to the 21st of June.
Correct.
And you can use code INFINITY for 10% off your tickets. So let's get that out of the way first. Matthias, maybe before we get into the questions, can you give our listeners a little more of a TLDR on yourself? We've had your brother on, but not you. So if you just introduce yourself a bit, we'll get to know you a bit.
Sure. So my name is Matthias, and I've been organizing Bitcoin events with my brother Martin since 2020. We started in Czech Republic in a little city, Ostrava, with an event in COVID time. When we hit it, we kind of did like a honey badgers. We don't care about COVID, and we did it. And it took great traction, because even during lockdown, we attracted 500 people. The year after, it was 1,000 people. The year after, 2,000. And that lead us to the year 2023, where we decided to organize the international event, which is BTC Prague. So now it's been 5 years since we organize events for people who likes to meet in the real space, because it's really important. It absolutely speed up your process of understanding Bitcoin. And neither me or Martin are techies, but we always like to meet people and organize different kind of occasions and parties. So we figured this will be our contribution to network, and apparently, it works. People love it. Last year we welcomed almost 8,000 people. We had 200 plus speakers. Michael Saylor is coming for a third time. So this is a good sign that we are doing something right. And the expo is full of great Bitcoin-only companies. So that was just a very short summary of what we are doing. Other than that, I like music, party, and self-sovereignty.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, BTC Prague, like I was on a Spaces yesterday, and I told everyone that usually the smaller the conference is, if it's a Bitcoin-only conference, the higher the signal-to-noise ratio. But Prague is the exception, because it's a fantastic big conference, but you manage to keep the signal-to-noise ratio really high. There's not a lot of shitcoiners there. It's very high signal. And
thank you.
Yeah, so congrats. Kudos to you for two great conferences so far. They've both been fantastic.
Thank you. You know, we are doing conferences for us. We always think like what the conference should be like, that so we like it. And me and Martin, we are hardcore Bitcoiners. Of course, we've been through this whole altcoin cycle. Like, it's a part of the evolution. So we have a compassion for people, but we don't have a compassion for those companies.
No, speaking of shitcoins and the shitcoin market and the Bitcoin market, like what's your take on the recent market movements in Bitcoin? And like, what do you think is going on, and what's happening there?
Yeah, well, I think being a Bitcoiner now is great. The sentiment is, what's the right word? It's electric. It's not just a bull market. It's really a mental shift. And people who laughed at us 5 years ago, they are now coming with questions, serious questions. The institutions are jumping in, trying to ride this way. Politicians are scratching their heads and scrambling up. So here's the thing, like 5 years ago, it wasn't sure that Bitcoin is real to stay. It was sure for us, but now it's really becoming so real that no one is like against it anymore. Or maybe this is just my bubble feeling, but I think that we are crossing the chasm from early adopters or maybe even late adopters to early majority. And this comes with a great opportunity for everyone. So if you become Bitcoiner before everyone else, it's very, very good thing to do. And I would say that those who adopt this technology will benefit greatly from it. And I think that this is the last time when we really can jump in before the majority. So the time is ticking, and I think that the real FOMO will happen in this year or maybe the year after. And that's why I'm here, like talk about BTC Prague, because for those who are curious and who want to jump in, maybe they are seasoned Bitcoiners, but they also might be a newcomers, because until now it was kind of a no-no from different reasons. But now pretty obvious that Bitcoin is here to stay. And at BTC Prague or pretty much every other event, you get this conviction that is a real thing. You see so many people with similar values, with very smart arguments, which are against this fiat experiment, which is clearly ending, because everyone sees the inflation. Everyone has this feeling that the system is rigged and that you need to do something about this. Like even like really everyone, like Joe and Jim from the street, everyone knows that something is rigged and you need to defend yourself. And Bitcoin is here to help you to overcome this hard period. And if you come to the conference, it's pretty easy to get the education, the networking you need to be sure that you start and you benefit greatly, very, very quickly. You don't get this feeling from internet, because the internet is full of chaos. It's very difficult to find the signal in the sea of the noise. So I really think that becoming a Bitcoiner now matters. And the moment of the transformation, when the crowd is still a little bit uncertain, is important. Because when the crowd is sure and you will see everything in the mainstream every week, you will see the news in mainstream, but that's maybe not the ideal time to jump in.
No, I agree with all of that. And I'd just like to pick your brain. Do you believe that, like, when the majority comes into the market, do you believe that there will be a last cycle, like a one cycle to end them all? Where we just go into hyper Bitcoinization.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, and I'm not sure. It's a very difficult question. Yeah. And I think no one knows the answer. But Bitcoin is technology, and it will be probably copying somehow the bell curve, which is the adoption curve of every technology. So it might be very similar to internet or smartphones. So probably we will see a huge hockey stick, and then it will start to slow down again. So it's a S curve. And how long will the parabolic move be? I don't know. It might be even like a few decades, I would say. Yeah, or maybe not, because we don't have that many people in the world. I have no idea. It can be fast. It can be really fast by adoption of people. But we have so much money in the world, and that will take time. The Bitcoin is like a black hole, which is sucking the energy, the monetary energy from every other asset. And I think that will take a long time. It can take decades for people to really understand that it's not good to diversify to real estate. Yeah, it's better to buy Bitcoin. This can take time. But if we're talking about adoption, that people will start to using it on a day-to-day move, and that the fiat experiment will disappear, that can take a little bit less time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the S curve is applicable to the people adopting Bitcoin, but maybe it's not applicable to all the money, because there's always more money and more productivity, and as the economy grows, there's always more money. So that doesn't have to level out somewhere. It could just theoretically just keep on going, like nothing stops this train, as Lynn likes to say. So another thing about adoption, like the best way to actually get to experience how superior Bitcoin is to go to a conference, preferably a big one, because you have so many people that you can actually use it with and see how smooth and how great using Bitcoin is, how great an experience it is. And it's so frictionless, and don't ask for permission, just do it. The more of us that do, the more else, the quicker the unstoppability of this will unfold.
Yeah, sure. Like I have so many examples. In Czech Republic, you can pay with Bitcoin for everything. Like I was just in a restaurant with my friends a few days ago, and I showed them how I pay with Bitcoin, and I paid the bill with Bitcoin in a random restaurant in my little city. We have more than 1,000 places all over Czech Republic. Our biggest online retailer, Alza, is like Czech Amazon, is accepting Bitcoin and Lightning since 2014, I think. So you can buy pretty much any electronics or household items, toys, pretty much everything what you imagine for Bitcoin. So it's already here. It's just that the knowledge of this technology is not evenly distributed. We are already living in the future. And if you are aware of this, you want to be aligned with this future where you need good money. And that means becoming a Bitcoiner. That means using Bitcoin for your own good. And it can be, it can differ. Someone use it only for saving money. Someone using for payments. Someone using for buying their household items, but someone is using it for international transfers, which is also super cool. Yeah, not waiting 3 days for confirmation. This money is censorship resistant. There are so many perks which are just 100 times better than the previous technology, previous money.
Absolutely. And it's no coincidence that Prague and the Czech Republic are ahead of the curve here, because your country, you have a long tradition of resistance to authority, whether it be your own government or the Soviet Union trying to run you over, and all sorts of things. So tell us a bit about that. Why Prague and the Czech Republic stands out from the crowd here?
Okay, there are, like, Czechs have been, I think, always very geeky nation. We are well known as researchers, as smart people who are finding new solutions, because we are a small nation. We don't feel particularly strong about ourselves. We've been always ruled by someone, and this made us a kind of humble nation. And people knew that they need to work for their own to have something extra. And this especially, I'm especially talking about the last etap when we were under the communism regime, where there was nothing on the market. And if you wanted to have for example, nice piece of furniture or something nice for your household, you had to make it by yourself. So people have this craftsman culture. And when Bitcoin came into fruition, in 2008, 2009, few smart people already started to geeking about it in Prague, in the hackerspace Brmlab. And those were the people who were laying down the foundation for Bitcoin ecosystem. So in this hackerspace, the first ever mining pool happened to be founded, Flash Pool, working until now with more than 1 million Bitcoin being mined, now operated by Brains, another great Czech-based Bitcoin company. That was in the year 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Then 2012, the first ever hardware wallet was made in Czech Republic, in Prague, by Stick and Flash. Satoshi Labs with BIP39, the seed phrase. It was also discovered in Czech. Or 2013, the Generalbytes, the biggest Bitcoin ATM manufacturer by Karel Kijovský, also made in Prague. And we've always had very close to libertarian and anarcho-capitalistic thinking. So there was this black three-floor building, Barnipolis, in 2014, where all those cypherpunks and geeks and hackers were coming and talking about Bitcoin. And this, because we started very early, the Czech Bitcoin community started very soon, we had the time to understand, to learn about it. You know that it takes time to understand Bitcoin. You can speed it up only a bit. And because we had time, it snowballed until now, where we have like a huge Bitcoin community with 10 million inhabitants. Czech Republic has more than 1 million Bitcoin enthusiasts. Those are just numbers from some research. And many Bitcoin companies are based in Prague, because the culture here is just really cool and really great. And even the government recognized this. And recently, our president signed a law where you don't need to pay the capital gain taxes after holding your Bitcoin for 3 years. So we have a time test for Bitcoin. And the second part of this law was that the companies have a right for a corporate bank account, because those companies had a lot of problems, because the foreign banks were closing their accounts and trying to screw them with this sneaky attack. So now it seems that the government recognized the opportunity and want to establish Czech Republic as somehow Bitcoin capital of Europe, with Czech crown having as our currency, not euro. This is something what gives me a real hope for the future, even though I'm coming a little bit from the more grassroots movement. So I don't praise politics and governments and central bankers. But even me, I feel kind of proud about this, I'm only waiting when I will see more and more news from Czech coming to the world. Like recently, it was Aleš Michl, the Czech National Bank governor, when he stated out that Czech National Bank is considering Bitcoin as a part of the reserve. And of course, they were the next day they were slapped on their fingers by Christine Lagarde. Yeah. But I think it doesn't matter. And the game theory is already in play. And it's just about the time when the whole world will see it. And as it is work for individuals, if you are first, you have a better opportunity and better leverage. It works same for countries, and Czech Republic definitely can be one of those countries in Europe, similar to El Salvador in Latin America.
Yeah, it's super super bullish news, all of it, definitely. And speaking of Christine Lagarde, I saw a tweet the other day where from the European Central Bank of how to spot the counterfeit euro bill. And I think it's so ironic, because all of them are counterfeit, in my opinion. And the only way to know that no one is printing more of the monetary unit you're using is to actually know every single transaction that goes on in that system. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to run a Bitcoin node and check for yourself. That's the only way you can know that no counterfeiting can happen. So yeah, run a node. That's how you know. All the other currencies can and will be counterfeited, either by central banks, by normal banks, or by some other evil entity. That's just what happens. The incentive is too strong.
Yeah, I don't want to even start talking about European Union and those Brussels elites, or they call themselves elites, but they have no idea they are out already from this game. Just
no, it's elites only in the sense of like that they are the most successful parasites.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Carolinini police there shortly. Like, what's happening there? I heard a rumor that it's closed down or something. Is that true?
Yeah, it's closed down in the sense that it changed names. It changed somehow ownership. I think the culture what was there has kind of died and changed. Honestly, I haven't been there for some time, so I don't know.
No, but because I don't, this Carolinini police was never a Bitcoin only place, right? There was a lot of shitcoinery going on there, even though it was born before the distinction was even possible to make for most people, because it's been there since when? Like 2010, 2011, something?
Nah, I think a little bit later, like 2014, I would guess.
Yeah, but still before the Bitcoin standard and the whole introduction of Bitcoin versus shitcoin narrative, that simply wasn't there in the beginning. So these are the true original cypherpunks that have just been fighting for your freedom to do whatever the fuck you want, basically.
You know, I really like Barony Police. It's very respectable place from the sense that in Czech we had this law that every single business which is serving people needs to have this electronic cashier, and they were the only one who refused that because they were not accepting cash.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
they went away with it. They were really, I think they were the only cafe in the whole Czech Republic who didn't have this electronic cash system, which was mandatory by Czech law. It's they showed the middle finger and they won. And regarding the shitcoinery there, they were really focused on Bitcoin a lot. I would say 90-95%, but because of the philosophy, they were kind of blockchain agnostic, let's say it very politely. So there were some Ethereum people and even Monero, but I think that they were kind of selected even from the shitcoin part. They selected only the best of those shitcoins.
The least worst. Anyway.
The least worst.
I can very much recommend you visit the place because it's such a cool place. And also, right across the street, there's one. There's a great restaurant with a lot of good meat, like a Texan barbecue sort of joint that I can't remember the name of, but that's great too.
Hello there. I'm Knut Svanholm, and I'm an international village idiot and author. These are my books on Bitcoin. Bitcoin Sovereignty Through Mathematics, Bitcoin Independence Reimagined, Bitcoin Everything Divided by 21 Million, and Bitcoin The Inverse of Clown World. These are now re-edited, redesigned, and available from the Bitcoin Infinity Store. I mean, look at that. Look at how your collection could look. It's upside down. But there they are anyway. But more than that, all of these books will be released for free, chapter by chapter, week by week on Noster. Also accompanied by a video that Luke and I will make talking about the ideas in the book, where we answer your questions, because you can sign up for the Bitcoin Infinity Academy and join courses for each and every one of the books and talk to us every now and then and get other perks like a free set of steak knives. So go to the Bitcoin Infinity store right now. Get the books, sign up for the academy.
The steak knives is only a maybe.
Oh, all right then.
So, where are we? Where do we want to take this conversation? Anything more about Prague and the Czech Republic that people ought to know? Like, anything else you want to talk about in that area?
I never let the opportunity to shill BTC Prague on the table. So, I think that this year is, and I've been thinking about the next phase of Bitcoin adoption a lot, because with BTC Prague, we always try to adapt to the market, and with every bull market, we get a huge wave of newcomers. And this brings a question: who are the newcomers this bull market? And those newcomers are different than in last bull market because of the legitimization of Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin is getting attraction from politicians and institutions. We can see them in news in a positive way. I think that the next wave of people are kind of normie, middle class, Jim and Joe, maybe wearing suit, and they will be, of course, coming for the money part of the equation of the movement, because they feel threatened by inflation, and they will be looking for something to save their money. But also, they feel like this might be a similar opportunity as internet was in early 90s. They don't want to become blockbusters of this Bitcoin time or Kodaks or Nokias. So I think that there are many people who feel ambition, and they want to use this this opportunity of Bitcoin for their own good, to have a better salary in their company. So they want to become this go-to guy, this Bitcoin guy in their company. And maybe they even were studying Bitcoin for a few years, so they are not absolute newbies. But it was not very easy to come up to their boss and say, "Hey, boss, let's do something with Bitcoin." Because until now, the boss would just kick them out. Don't talk bullshit with me. Yeah, Bitcoin is money for criminals or something like that, or is boiling oceans, or pick your fat. But now, I think that this is the time when, if you are a Bitcoiner in a company, you can go to your boss. You can say, "Hey, boss, I see there is an opportunity to use Bitcoin for this and this purpose." Because if you are a good employee in your fiat job, you see these small opportunities lying on the table and pick your favorite. Yeah. Your boss can tell you, "Okay, yeah, that's actually a good idea. Let's spend some time on it. Let's research." And you can go to BTC Prague and really learn about those use cases, because we are not the first one who is thinking about this. The wheel is already being developed, and you can just pick a guide, a playbook which fits to your needs, and apply it for your own company, for your own ambition. And if you do it right, you can just raise your hourly rate in your company to double, triple, or pretty much what you imagine, as it was in early days of the internet. If you knew how to operate with internet, if you knew how to do web pages, you just had a huge, huge leverage against the whole other job market. So I think this is the real opportunity to really start thinking about Bitcoin as a part of your job and applying it to other aspects of your life. I really think that Bitcoin is a level of technology, and it gives you the opportunity to grow in a manner that it wasn't possible until now. It opens up absolutely new doors, which are very easy to open, and it's with almost no risk.
Yeah, and one thing is that you very rarely hear the phrase, "I don't like Bitcoin, but I find the underlying blockchain technology very interesting." You don't hear that anymore, right? Because people know that that phrase, it just reveals your ignorance. It tells other people how stupid you are when it comes to this stuff. So the only people using that particular phrase is politicians and central bankers and such. Like the distinction between Bitcoin and everything else is just becoming so, so clear.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Knut. What do you think will be the scam of this bull market? You know, last bull market, it was ordinals, and before that, it was like altcoins, different colors of all the altcoins. Before that, it was ICOs. So what do you think will be this market? Because I'm sure there will be something.
Yeah, I mean, the meme coins are sort of already dead. I think like Trump coin and that crap was like peak. Well, if the president of the United States makes one and that does the same fucking rug pull as everything else, like where do you go from there? I think meme coins are over. I do, however, think that this shit coins on Bitcoin thing, I worry that might have a resurrect itself, because that's very... It's a very damaging thing. It does clog up the UTXO set and make Bitcoin transactions more expensive for everyone, and make starting your own node more expensive for everyone. So I hope that that's over. And there are some positive signals, like, for instance, when the so-called Taproot Wizards raised $30 million at the same time Blockstream raises $1 billion. So like we're sort of winning that war too. I like that. But yeah, there might be the next. I mean, I view all of the shitcoins and all of the scams that follow in the wake of Bitcoin as some type of attack vector. They are the attack. And the next one might be political. That if we let politicians decide what a node is, for instance, or let them... If a politician says it will be legal to run a Bitcoin node in our country, and then they get to define what a Bitcoin node is, and that's very dangerous. Like, this needs to be run by people who don't give a shit what politicians say. That's like, if we start obeying and following rules, we're not Bitcoiners anymore. Like, we need, it needs its anarcho-capitalistic ethics to actually work. Because otherwise it becomes centralized and then it's fucked. It's just another shitcoin. I don't believe that would happen. I'm insanely bullish on Bitcoin and convinced about its robustness, especially after how spectacularly gloriously the block size wars were won back in 2017. We're like unstoppable. But yeah, there will be more scams. However, they are way more insignificant than they were back in 2017. Like, right now, the entire altcoin market is just how much Bitcoin moves in a day. That's the equivalent. Like, so Bitcoin is enormous. It's like an ant fighting a mammoth. Like, it's nothing. They make a lot of noise because, what's the expression? Empty cans make more noise. Mm-hmm. And this is what the shitcoin market is. So still insanely optimistic about Bitcoin. I think the scams will be another wave of scams. Hard to tell what it is. But hopefully people are smart enough to not fall for it anymore. Right? Or less people, at least. There's always another idiot to fool. But yeah.
Yeah.
Fewer and fewer every time.
Yeah, well, even smart people were falling for scams past two bull markets, right? It's part of the learning process to fall for some scam and pay for it.
Yeah.
It gives you a very hard lesson, which is almost untransferable. Yeah. Someone can teach you about this, but if you don't feel the pain, you don't think in a way that you learn the lesson.
No, and in order to fool a smart person or an above average intelligent person, you need to sound so smart that they feel that they're not really following you, which is sort of what Ethereum did for a long time. The word salad matched the cold salad, so to speak. So no one really understood it. They just pretended that they understood it, and that's how they got wronged. And some people are still getting wronged by that obvious, in hindsight, obvious scam. Like a 70% pre-mine should have, like, everyone should have seen that, but it was so well, the marketing machine and this, all these narratives of world computer and all the bullshit, like it captured a lot of people. And same thing with Monero. So like, oh, this is actually anonymous. Yeah, but that means you can't audit the supply. So it doesn't work. But people will fall for one scam or another. And I think most of that stems from all this misinformation because people don't understand what problem Bitcoin solves. And in order to understand a solution, you need to first understand the problem. And the problem is money printing. The problem is that you can copy stuff. Like, this is the first thing that can't be copied. That it's as simple as that. But people have such a hard time wrapping their heads around it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah, the money printing is the problem. Bitcoin is solving it for the first time in a history. It's so brilliant. And it's so simple to grasp it once you get it. It's almost like the cryptography, like the public private key cryptography. Yeah? Once you have the key, it's so simple to verify. But on the other side, it's almost impossible to solve the problem. And I think it's very similar with understanding Bitcoin. Once you get it, once it clicks, it's so obvious, and you are just telling yourself, "Hi, how could I be so stupid to not get it sooner?"
That's a super good analogy. Like, it's great. But Bitcoin knowledge is like a private key. Like, once you get it, it doesn't go away.
It unlocks different part of knowledge as well. Like, at least I kind of feel like Bitcoin really gave me the power to understand even things outside of Bitcoin, because it just broadened your perspective, and because it gives you a chance of thinking about things differently. You kind of feel like you see through the things which you couldn't see before. Yeah, like another scams and the ridiculousness of the whole bureaucracy, and the list is very, very long. But before Bitcoin, it wasn't so obvious, right? That how the world is so rigged.
No, and Bitcoin led me down the Austrian economics rabbit hole, which I think is like just as big of a revealing thing, because it feels like when you're looking at the world through a Bitcoin lens, when you know that all prices should go down over time, and the only reason that they don't is because people is printing money, you see all the other problems and where they come from, and how political interventionism is always the problem. And it's like having truth goggles, you know, that old John Carpenter movie, They Live, where he watches the world normally and then through the glasses, and it's completely different, and he can just see the truth in everything. And that's the type of glasses that Bitcoin provides you with.
Hello there, fellow Bitcoiner. Take your coins off the exchange right now. You need to take self-custody of your coins. Now, how do you do that? First of all, you need a good hardware wallet, and I would recommend the Bitbox. So go to bitbox.swish. No, not .swish, .swiss. bitbox.swiss/infinity and get your Bitbox now with a discount. Also, you need somewhere to store your seed phrase. So why not get one of those wonderful steel seed plate storage thingies from stampseed.com/infinity, and you can get the everything divided seed plate. It's beautiful. Also, if you're advanced and if you want to start with generational wealthing, which is a fun hobby I have, you can go to the Bitcoin Advisor, a group of lovely fellows from down under that can help you store your Bitcoin for a long time using multisig solutions. So check out Bitbox, Stampseed, and the Bitcoin Advisor, or GFY. back to the show.
So, yes, and I know you like the philosophical side of Bitcoin as much as I do, and know that this is it's much more than you know, number go up technology. It's everything else go up too, like in your life. You learn to become more responsible, and with great freedoms comes great responsibility, as Spider-Man's uncle once said. In Bitcoin, we have Uncle Rockstar to tell us those things. But yeah, what are your thoughts on how Bitcoin changes people, and more than just providing truth goggles?
Yeah, you know, I think that we are coming to an age where people need to take responsibility to their own hands, because without money printer, the socialism will be not possible. And people will have very hard time without being very productive and taking care about yourself, about your own future. So I think that we are shifting to the time when the responsibility of one needs to really be on the forefront of everyone's thinking. And Bitcoin teaches you that. Also, Bitcoin kind of rediscover values which were kind of lost in last two generations. So I like the philosophy about Bitcoin. And I'm just, I don't know where to start, because the topic is so so interesting. But like it's been kind of distillating in my mind for several years, and I think I really get it, and I developed my own kind of philosophy around this, and I call it Level Up. I came with this last year for BTC Prague because I wanted to encourage people to be better. Because yeah,
it was the theme of the conference, right?
Yes, it was the theme of the conference, to level up. Because I think that you should never stop learning. I think that being mediocre is the worst thing what you can do. If you just stop, if you start feeling convenient, I think this is the start of decay. And with this, I was thinking that I want to really encourage people to, because I was looking at myself when I was really new in Bitcoin. I was listening like 7 hours of podcast per day on speed 1.6, and I was reading 2-3 books per month. I was just swallowing it extremely, and then I found myself in a position when I felt confident that I know quite a lot. It was nothing, but I felt like I know something about Bitcoin. I went through this shitcoinery phase, and I start stacking. I did all the things what are like recommended for being a Bitcoiner, and I recognized that I kind of stuck in the and I stopped learning. Yeah, so I kind of pushed myself to run the nodes and try multi-signature and do this more advanced stuff. And then I felt great again. So I wanted to encourage people, our attendees at BTC Prague, to do the same. Never stop. Really, like put it in your calendar and do some interesting and advanced thing around Bitcoin every week. Just grow. Never stop. And this was just the beginning of the idea, but then I kind of connected it with the Maslow pyramid of needs, which says that you have different levels. The first is basic needs, like having a full stomach and being warm. The second one, I think, is friendship and love. The third one is self-fulfillment. Something what you do and you feel very good, and I think the fourth level, or maybe it's the last one, is enlightenment.
Yep.
And I think that Bitcoin gives you opportunity to very quickly tip the first two levels. Because it wasn't very easy before with fiat, because you just had to spend a lot of time working, and most of the people don't like their daily job. So they never get to the third level, which is self-fulfillment. But with Bitcoin, you can actually do whatever is needed, and you get the self-fulfillment in Bitcoin. So you are getting the third level, which was very difficult to get before. And that's why I call it level up technology, because it really gets you to the point where you wouldn't be able to get without it, because it's just the technology is so powerful that it lifts you up, it elevates you to different levels, and you can't really imagine where it will get you in a few years. And it teaches you lessons which would you never even imagine you would learn on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember that this was in your talk in Buenos Aires. We spent some time together in Buenos Aires and got to know each other a little better. Had some great steak and stuff. So that was great. It resonated very well with me. I really like this Maslow's hierarchy of needs and level up thought. And what you said in the beginning that it ties together with the thing I view as the only threat to Bitcoin is complacency, people not caring anymore. That's how we can't resist the next attack. We need to stay vigilant, stay updated, and stay hungry for this thing to work. So that's the funny thing about it. It's the most robust thing ever. But its robustness is totally dependent on us being robust as people. So it's robust and fragile at the same time, but I would still say it's super robust. Some people say that Bitcoin should ossify, should or should not ossify. But I find that funny, because there would be no way to tell if it had. You can never know if Bitcoin is going to change in the future. You could tell that the likelihood that it will go down over time as more and more people come aboard. But there's no way to actually objectively say that now it has ossified. And at some point, we might find a critical bug or something that needs to be done that requires us to take action and change the software in our nodes. And if we don't do that, we might be that might be dangerous. So that's why I say that complacency is the only enemy that Bitcoin has. We need to stay vigilant and do our part.
Yeah. And it's way over my pay grade to see if there are some bugs in the code. So I'm very happy that we have an army of developers and smart, huge brains who are watching Bitcoin every day, because it's an open source system. Without this open source technology, it wouldn't be possible. And that's just another beautifully done design from Satoshi Nakamoto. It's almost like it came from another planet. That it wouldn't. It's so beautifully done and designed. And everything is thinking through, but still it's under the development. It just boils my brain, and I love to think about it every day.
Yeah, same here, as you know. And I think what we're doing is we're just being part of the division of labor here. There are plenty of technical introverted people that want to sit there and verify everything for themselves and be vigilant in that sense. But I think my time is better spent, conviction deepening Bitcoiners. Some other guy might be better at orange pilling than I am, but I think I'm pretty good at writing stuff that deepens people's conviction. Your time is probably better spent organizing the conference and making sure that people connect with one another to make these great connections and business relationships happen, which is like what a conference is really for. It helps the whole ecosystem grow and more connections to be found that cannot be found online, but we need to do them in real life. So I view it as, when I say I'm doing my part, I don't necessarily mean like checking, verifying everything in the chain. I'm finding my position in the ecosystem. And yep. I mean, if you have Bitcoin and if you use them, if you accept Bitcoin for your goods and services, regardless of what those goods and services are, you're already doing your part. That's the way I view it. That's the most crucial thing. Accept Bitcoin, because no one can do anything about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everyone can do his own part. Just think what you are good and apply a Bitcoin on it.
Let's go into B2C Prague a bit more. Can you tell me a bit more about B2C Prague this year? Do you have a level up was last year's catchphrase? Is there a catchphrase for this year? And what can you tell me about the content? How does this year's B2C Prague differ from previous years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this year is about legitimization. We think that really it's about discovering what is new in Bitcoin and how to leverage this for upcoming years, how to position yourself in upcoming bull market, and pretty much how to use the technology to empower yourself as an individual, but also as a sovereign family. Because I really, I like the motto, like I love the book Sovereign Individual. But I think that the smallest part is not individual, but is a family. The smallest unit should be a family. And I really think that this resonates very well with Bitcoiners. And that's why we kind of will explore this more cultural things also during BTC Prague. And just to maybe summarize it, summarize the umbrella term and to give you more idea, what does it mean? It pretty much means that we are lowering the bar. It's not going to be so hardcore like last year, especially the business day of the conference, because we are expecting many newcomers from the traditional world who are coming for the money part of the movement, and we want to give them the things what they come for. If you are a seasonal Bitcoiner, you will still get some nuggets, gold and diamonds, which will be thrown away by every speaker. Because when I talk to speakers, I encourage them to come up with some actionability and some maybe a prediction how to position for upcoming years. It's the every talk supposed to be interesting but also actionable, so you can really take it and start using the very same day. Other than that, the conference will be held at the same place. It's a huge area. It can take up to 10,000 people. So we think that this year we will be absolutely full and sold out. There will be 200 plus speakers from Michael Saylor is coming for the third time in a row. We will have Saifedean Amos, Larry Leppard, Alex Svensky, Hugh Knut with Luke. Or from the new names, James Lavish. Let me open the webpage here. You can look at it. Eric Semler, from the Semler Scientific, then few other big guys from the corporate world. Eve Shetafi, Samson Mao, Charles Guillem from Ledger, Peter Todd, Stefan Liverank, Marty Malmy, John Carvalho, all the big names which are important in a Bitcoin ecosystem. And I think the very interesting news for the program, for the main stage, is that we are coming with a new format, which is Oxford-style debates. We haven't been doing this, but this is something very fresh. And I'm personally very much looking forward to see two people on one side fighting, arguing with two people on the second side with one moderator. And they both have a very certain and precise time to lay down the arguments, and the second side need to defend it. And I've seen that live, and it's great. It's very entertaining, but at the same time, because it's fair, it's also educational. It's like it's like the panel discussion for adults. So we will have those discussions, those debates during BTC Prague, but only on the main stage. So it's worth to spending some sets to be there with others, to feel the energy, to be very close to the speakers, and to use the opportunity to meet them in the main conference hall to greet them after the talk and ask them additional questions, because that's how you get most of it. Right after the call, right after the talk, go and meet them and ask them something. And most of the speakers are very happy to talk and to expand the short period of time what they have on the main stage.
It sounds fantastic. And I love those Oxford-style debates. One of my favorites, like from a decade back, is Stephen Fry and the Christopher Hitchens debating to religious people if the Catholic Church is a force for good or not. That was a great debate. So looking forward to that a lot. You mentioned Seyfeddin Amous and Larry Lepard. I mean, we will have a book corner, which Luke and I are running a booth there. And I believe Seyfeddin is running the other booth. And there's like a little book signing corner where we will both have sessions signing books. Larry Lepard will have his book in our booth, and plenty of other authors too, including a handful of Czech authors, local authors, and other people too. So looking forward to that a lot. There's a lot going on. We will also, you mentioned Martin Malmi and Samson Lowe, which are, I know from, I heard through the grapevine that they are musicians, and that which I happen to be too, and that we might do something together. So we'll see what that ends up being. But as always, I look forward to Prague a lot. It's just a great conference and a great city. And this year I'm bringing my family, so like I'm looking forward to showing them the city and the conference and everything. It's going to be great.
Yeah, thank you for your kind words, Knut. Yeah, I think I can really agree with you that Prague is a beautiful city. It's very historical, and for those who didn't see it, it's a great opportunity to come and extend the stay for a few more days and just go around the old city. It's medieval, it's beautiful, it's full of proof of work. It's absolutely astonishing. And it's also, Prague is still quite cost effective if you compare it with other big capitals in Europe.
Yes. And I mean, it's also serves as a perfect visualizer of like what the world was like on the gold standard and what it's like on the fiat standard. Because sometimes there's this beautiful 400-year-old building right next to a fiat skyscraper that's just butt ugly. And you can just see the problem there. It's as far as big cities go, Prague is definitely a top three big city, metropolitan big cities in the world that I like. So if you haven't been, you should absolutely go. And by the way, the beer is just next level. It's better than anywhere else on earth. Like, no question about it.
Yeah, we are in the middle of the Europe, so we have great beer, but we have also great wine and great hard spirit. We have everything what you can imagine from the good mix of Europe.
Yeah, and you have defenestration, which we alluded to here in the beginning, which is And we can reveal what it is now after the show is an hour in here. And it's basically throwing bureaucrats and politicians out the windows, right?
Yes, yes. It's an act of throwing out the leaders of parliament, or let's say of some bureaucrats from the windows. It happened 3 times in Czech Republic in past 600 years, I would say. So we are waiting for another one.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about that and more about the history of Prague, you should check out our interview with your brother, Martin, which we did maybe 6 months back or something, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think it was even more.
Even more, maybe 9 months or something.
It was sometime before last BTC Prague, if I remember correctly. So it's almost a year.
Almost a year now.
For those who are curious about the Czech history and how it kind of fits and connect with Bitcoin, we have published a Freedom ebook, which is free to download on our webpage, and you can find the link on our Twitter. And it's quite interesting and short read, and it gets you through this like history. Through these defenestrations and some Hussites wars up to the time when Bitcoin was discovered and why the Czechs have picked up so fast, and it lead us until the time when we are where we are now.
No, I can definitely recommend downloading that ebook. So have I done, and I've read through it, and it's full of great material, and it's also very beautifully designed. So I definitely recommend that. And as we said before, use code Infinity to get 10% off your ticket to Prague, and make sure you get your ass over there. You're not going to regret it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
You're not going to regret it. I am pretty sure about this. The satisfaction rate of BTC Prague is just absolutely amazing. And if you pay with Bitcoin while using the Infinity code, you get another 5% off. So it's better to just buy Bitcoin and pay with it to have a bigger discount. And just come, take your friends, buy the tickets soon, because they are quickly disappearing, especially the cheapest one. And if you bring them there, you can be sure that they will fall into this rabbit hole, because the conviction which comes with seeing the whole conference, the expo, and thousands of people, it's unmatchable. It just clicks. So if you have problem to convince someone, maybe this is the time to seduce them for a trip to Prague, and just bring them for one day, for Saturday, to this event, and your work is done.
No, great tip. What's the website? It's btcprague.com, right?
Yes, the website is btcprague.com. We have also site event DevHack Day, which you can find on our main webpage. If you are really interested about the edge of the technology, you should apply for this one-day conference before BTC Prague. So it's 18th of June. And if you are really into big money and corporate world, we have just launched our BCD, which is Bitcoin Corporate Day. And that's just 1 day side event for selected 210 individuals. And this is just a top-notch networking during BTC Prague. So you can also check that out, bitcoincorporateday.com.
Which day is the Bitcoin Corporate Day?
It's on Friday, it's 20th of June. So that means that you just skip 1 day from BTC Prague and you spend the day in a different venue. But you can still meet others during the evening.
All right, that sounds awesome. And I guess BTC Prague will return next year as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's a tradition. I don't see why we should stop it. Everyone's love it. We really like to organize it. It's a lot of fun. And we have some other plans for future, but maybe we will just keep this for a next time, Knut.
Yes, I may or may know something about this, but if I say anything, you will have to kill me. So I'll avoid that for now. But there is more to come. Be sure of that. Where can people find you online, Matthias? Like, what's your easiest way?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. I think if you just type my name, you'll find me, or the handle is Matthias44Cook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. If you want to reach out with any proposal or some recommendation for a program, please send an email to hello@btcprague.com. It will get to me, and I will be happy to chat and to answer.
Fantastic. So thank you very much for coming onto the show, and I'm looking forward a lot to BTC Prague. Looking forward to seeing both you and Martin there and having tons of fun. So till then, take care.
Thank you, Knut. Bye-bye.
This has been the Bitcoin Infinity Show. Thanks for listening.